I actually set up a quit teaching savings account. So that's what I want you to do. I want you to open a savings account and I want you to call it Quit My Job Savings Account. So what I did was, after a while, when I was first making money from Inspire Budget, I would sometimes spend it or put it back into the business. Eventually, when I was making more money and not enough to quit off of yet, but just any profit, after I saved for taxes, after I paid my business expenses, any profit I had would literally go into a savings account, and it was called my Quit Teaching Fund. Hey, this is Allison, and welcome to the Inspire Budget Podcast, where we talk all things budgeting, debt, and saving money. Today, I'm a little bit nervous about this episode, but I'm just going to put it all out there because I am going to be talking a little bit about how I actually left my full-time teaching job as an elementary school teacher to work on my business full-time and what that actually looked like. Not what people want to see, not all the highlights, but I'm going to be giving you really a really good view of what it was like for me to make that transition. And here's the deal. There's so many people right now that are seeing work differently. There's been a shift, actually, in how we see work. In fact, it's happening so much that it's actually being called the Great Resignation. You see, the pandemic has forced people to look at their lives differently. And in many cases, people saw that their job wasn't one that made them happy. They were used to going to work all the time, and then they were forced really to stay home and realize how much they actually enjoyed being at home. And it caused them really to take a long, hard look at their job and where they were and what they were willing really to spend their time doing. So there's actually an article that I'll link to in the show notes, but it's all about how 46% of full-time employed U.S. adults are either actively looking or considering a new job, right? They realize they are unhappy in their job. And one-third of the Americans that have quit their job started their own business. So if you're considering doing this, if you're like, you know what, I kind of see the benefits of starting my own business. I think I see what I'm on social media. I'm seeing what people are putting out there. And I'm wondering, is this for me? I think it sometimes helps to have stories and information from others that have walked the road before you. And that's what I'm sharing with you today. I'm going to be sharing with you why I wanted to leave my full-time teaching job, as well as the details behind my transition to working on my business full-time. So if this is ever something you've considered, you're going to love this episode. And if you're a little nosy, you might love it too, because I think that it just gives you a little bit of a peek inside my life behind the curtain of what it really took to be able to work from home and on Inspire Budget full time. So before I actually walk you through how I left teaching, I feel like I have to start at the beginning of why I wanted to leave teaching. So I was actually an elementary teacher for 10 years, and I will never forget, probably starting year 2 or 3 of teaching, come February every single year, I would stay up late on my phone or on my computer, and I would be Googling, what can I do with a teaching degree? What can I do? Because I knew I didn't want to go back to college. I didn't want to go back into debt. I knew that there was something different out there for me, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. I was a good teacher. I had very much a skill set and a talent for it, but for years, I felt like it wasn't for me. I almost felt like there was something different out there, and it's not that I didn't like the kids. I loved the kids. It's that I really didn't appreciate all of the paperwork and the behind the scenes stuff of being a teacher and the constant stress. And one thing I found as a teacher, and you fellow teachers can probably attest to this, is that the better teacher you are, the more that the administration gives you. So the harder, you know, the more difficult children they give you, the more work they give you, the more expectations they give you, the more clubs they ask you to run. Just, it seems to pile on. And I was so tired and feeling piled on all the time by the school system. The stress of getting kids to pass a test. I only knew a standardized grade. I taught 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade. So in those grades, you always had your standardized tests. That's all I knew. And every year I would get burned out around the same time. And every year I would come up short. And I would say, I don't really know what I could do with a teaching degree. The only thing I really considered truly was going into corporate America and being basically an adult educator for a company, where if anyone needs to have continuing education hours, then I could be the one that would provide those continuing education hours. But still, that didn't sit right with me, and I didn't know why. So for years, I just sat with this feeling of there's something else, but I'm not quite sure what it is. Well, during this whole process, my husband and I are paying off this debt. We're living on a budget. And I realized that I was passionate about it, but it wasn't until one Easter, my husband and I had become debt free the year before. So we became debt free in August 2015 or 2016, I can't remember now, but we became debt free. And then the following Easter, we were visiting family, and I'm an extroverted person. I like to talk, hence the podcast. And I was talking with my family about how we were debt free and how we were budgeting. And every year I came with the same message to the same people, right? Because it was a passion of mine and I couldn't help but talk about it. And so one year, my cousin-in-law, so it's actually, her name is Janet. She's married to my first cousin. One day she just looked at me at Easter and she was like, "Allison, we're done hearing about this." And I was like, "Janet, that's kind of rude." And she said, "No, it's not rude. You come to the family events with the same message every year, but you're talking to the people who have already heard it from you who don't need it. You need to be taking this to a bigger, larger audience." And she said, "You should start an online business." And immediately doubt set in, right? Because I was like, there's already people doing that. There's already people out there that talk about that. Like, who am I to talk about it? Who am I to try to teach on this? Like, that's silly. It's already out there. Why reinvent the wheel? Was my whole thought. But after talking to her and hearing about her successful online business, I couldn't stop thinking about it. And then 2 weeks later, my husband, my mom, and I stayed up until 2 o'clock in the morning, and we came up with the name Inspire Budget. I bought the domain and I said, "Okay, I'm going to do this." And I gave myself 5 years. I said, "I'm going to give myself 5 years for this to be my ticket to replace my teaching income. And if I can replace my teaching income with this business, I can leave teaching." And I actually ended up doing it in 2 years, but it was not without sacrifice. It was not without heartache. It was not without therapy. It was not this beautiful rainbow lined path that people might portray on social media. It was hard. It was tough. And I want to be honest about that as well. So first and foremost, I think it's important to know that the transition will be different for everyone. So I'm going to actually be laying out 4 steps I actually did to leave teaching. 4 real steps that you can actually do. So get your notebook, get your pencil and paper, save this, because if this is something that you want to do, then these are actually like 4 real steps you can do. Like I said, first and foremost, the transition is going to be different for everyone, depending on their own unique situation. My husband and I were in a situation where we were both debt-free, or we were debt-free together as a family, and he was a band director. He still is. So he had a teacher salary. I had a teacher salary. My goal was to simply replace my teacher salary. That was it. That was my only goal. I didn't need to provide income for the entire household. I also didn't have a husband who was able to provide income for the entire household. It was very much 50-50 split. He made a little bit more than me, but when it comes down to things, it was very much 50-50. I needed to pull my weight, if you will, pull my money and be able to replace it. So the step one was I determined what I needed to pay myself. So if you're in this situation where you're thinking about leaving your job and starting your own business, financially, what I did first and what I recommend you do first is determine what you need to pay yourself every single month. So my goal was to replace my teaching income. That came out to about $4,000 each month after taxes, business expenses, everything. I needed to be able to write myself a check essentially from my business for $4,000 each month, because that was essentially what I was making from my teaching job. So I figured if I could just literally replace that, we should be fine, because we're used to living on this amount. When I make this much, we can still invest. We can still do all the things, right? So if you make more money than $4,000 a month and you're trying to replace a higher income, it could be tricky. It can be harder. You might even be thinking, is this even possible? There's not a way. So honestly, in those regards of me trying to replace an income that wasn't this super high income made it more achievable, because it's not like I was trying to replace the income as a lawyer or as a doctor. So the first step is to determine what you need to pay yourself. And that could look like paying yourself less than what you make now. If you make now $6,000 a month, let's just say, I'm just throwing out random numbers. If you make $6,000 a month, but you really could write a budget for $4,000 a month and live off of that much, then that is the number you need to pay yourself. So remember that it doesn't necessarily have to be replacing your current income. It could be looking at writing a budget for the possibility of making less, knowing that eventually you will make more. So I do want to encourage you to write a budget almost for like this future. And that's exactly what I did. I would sit down and I would say, future possible budget. And I would figure out, okay, what is it that I need to make? And for us, it came down to replacing my income. So that's step one, determine what you need to pay yourself. And that's the first thing I did. The second thing I did, step two, is find a way to make money from your business. You have to have a way to make money. You know, I don't want to tell you to just quit and hope and leave it up to destiny or fate. That to me feels a little bit irresponsible. So I went into my business trying to find ways to make money. So here's what that looked like for me. I first started very slow. If you look at everything I have now, you might say, oh my gosh, she can make money in a lot of different ways. I can't do that. That's too much. But I didn't start with all of these ways of making money. I started with a blog and printables. That's it. I started my blog. I started my website. It looks totally different than what it looks like now. It was a mess, but you know, it was my mess, right? It was new, but it was my new. I was so proud of it. I started writing articles weekly. I created printables, literally a Microsoft PowerPoint that I would put onto Etsy. That was my first introduction to making money. Now, my blog didn't make money for the first probably, I would say 6 months to a year. I did not make really any money with my blog, but I knew that my blog, putting out valuable content, valuable articles, would draw people in to my website. I could give them a freebie in exchange for their email address, and then I could try to offer them my printables to buy them because I knew I had good things. I just needed to get people to see it, right? So that's exactly what I did. I plugged away. I wrote articles. For the first 6 months to a year, I made pennies from Google Ads. So ads on my website, I would make 16 cents a month. I made money from printables, and then I made my first course, which I sold that I no longer offer. Once I had that kind of down, I started brainstorming ideas on how I can make extra money. So once I had almost this system down with writing articles, having my printables, doing my courses, I almost moved on to the next stage. So I didn't do everything at once. I sat down and I thought, okay, what else can I do? And I ended up starting a membership, the Inspire Budget Inner Circle. I work with brands. I make money through affiliate marketing. So I was only able to expand on the ways I make money in my business once I had my foundation set. And my foundation is my website, serving people on social media, and my printables and my email list. And once I did that, I could move on to making money in different ways. So that's exactly what I did. Within 2 years, I was able to, because I had money coming in many different forms from different things, some with brands, some with my courses, some with Google Ads, or by this time, I think I was on Mediavine, so I was making more money from ads. I was able to replace my teaching income, which meant I actually had to be making more than $4,000 a month in my business. If you think about it, my business did not make $4,000 a month. It made more than $4,000 a month. And I had to save a chunk of my money I made for taxes to pay my income taxes. And I had to account for the money that I was spending to run my business, which back then wasn't a ton of money, but you still had to account for that. So I had to be making really probably more like $6,000 a month or $7,000 a month to pay myself $4,000 a month. So I do want to remember that when you're doing this, you do have to account for the taxes and you have to account for your business expenses when you're finding ways to make money from your business and that money's coming in. I don't want you to forget about that. So just to recap, the first step is I determined what I needed to pay myself. The second step is I found a way to make money in my business. Let's go on to step number three. The third step is essential and one that I was very, very proud of. I actually set up a Quit Teaching Savings Account. So that's what I want you to do. I want you to open a savings account and I want you to call it Quit My Job Savings Account. So what I did was, after a while, when I was first making money from Inspire Budget, I would sometimes spend it or put it back into the business. Eventually, when I was making more money and not enough to quit off of yet, but just any profit, after I saved for taxes, after I paid my business expenses, any profit I had would literally go into a savings account, and it was called my Quit Teaching Fund. That is what I nicknamed the account on my bank app, my Quit Teaching Fund. And the purpose of this money was to help me build up a savings account for when I did eventually leave teaching. My goal was to have at least 3 months worth of my salary. So $4,000 times three would be $12,000. Was to have $12,000 in this Quit Teaching Fund so that I could have almost this cushion to pay myself if for some reason my business didn't make as much money. So that meant, let's say 1 month I could only pay myself $3,000. Well, I could pull $1,000 from my Quit Teaching Fund. And this was more like a safety net. It helps me because leaving my job was a big risk. It was a very risky thing. A lot of people thought I was crazy, and I don't blame them. If you're not in it and you don't understand it, then it does appear to be crazy. But this Quit Teaching Fund, or Quit My Job Fund that I like to call it, really provided me with peace of mind and the security I needed to make a decision based off of numbers and not emotions. You see, if I were to have made the decision to leave teaching based off of emotions only, then that means that I didn't do any of the behind the scenes work to figure out how to get there. So one of my things was, I wanted to make my decision based off of numbers and facts and math. And having my Quit Teaching Fund helped me make that decision based off of numbers and math. And I'm not gonna lie, it wasn't always fun. It wasn't always fun to send all of my profit from my business to my Quit Teaching Fund. However, I knew it served a purpose. And just so you know, I still have something very similar. I do have a good amount of money in savings just in case I don't make what I need to make to pay myself. I have this money in savings to help cover me. So I think just for anyone who is a small business owner, or anyone who's looking to leave their job, or just anyone who has an inconsistent income in general, this is a great tip for you. Today's episode is brought to you by my free budgeting and debt payoff cheat sheet. This is a 15-page cheat sheet that has everything you need to kickstart your budget and debt payoff journey. I've broken down the most important part of budgeting, how to find more money in your budget each month, and the fastest way to pay off debt, all in this easy download. So whether you're new to budgeting or you just need a refresher, this cheat sheet is for you. You can grab it by clicking the link in the show notes or going to inspirebudget.com/cheat sheet. Going back to step one, I determined what I needed to pay myself. Step two was find a way to make money for my business. And step three was set up my Quit My Job savings account. So let's jump into step number four, which is the scariest of all, and that is to make the leap. Make the leap. Leave your job. So this was very hard for me. I'm not going to lie to you. Running Inspired Budget while teaching full-time was utterly exhausting. There were areas of my life that completely fell apart. And I don't want to sugarcoat this for you. I don't want to make it seem like it was just all rainbows and sunshines, because that would be a lie. And I'm not going to come on here and lie to you. For 2 years, I went to work from 6:45 in the morning until 5 o'clock or 4:30 in the afternoon as a teacher. I'd come home, I'd cook dinner. I stopped working out. I stopped eating healthy. I gained weight. My relationships and my friendships suffered, because by the time I put my kids to bed at 7:30, when they were really young, 7 or 7:30, I was on the computer for another 3 to 4 hours some nights. Every weekend I was working on my business. It was constant. There was actually even a period of my life where I developed insomnia because I was thinking so much about my business that I would wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and couldn't go back to sleep. So by 3 a.m. I said, okay, well, let me just get up and write an article. It was incredibly unhealthy. I do not recommend anyone do it the way I did it, but that is the path I chose. That is my truth, and I'm going to be honest about it. So within 2 years, I was able to replace my teaching income and make the decision essentially to leave my teaching job. And it was actually in therapy when my husband and I were in therapy together in couples counseling when we made that decision. So like I said, it didn't come without any sacrifices. There were many sacrifices. If I could go back and do it different, I would. However, I can't. So let's talk about how I knew it was time and what it looked like when I made that transition and took that leap. So my husband and I decided actually in March of 2019 that we had enough money in savings that I had consistently been able to replace my teaching income or get pretty close to it. I actually was a little bit riskier because I wasn't yet replacing it, but I knew that if I could work on my business full time, I would. And so we decided that I would finish out the school year and leave teaching. So we had to look at our risk tolerance. We had to look at how soon are we willing that I leave? What is our risk tolerance? We knew that my husband had a very stable job. We had money in savings. We didn't have debt. And when I decided to leave in March, I would finish out the school year in May, but I would still receive a paycheck for my job all the way through August. So my plan was essentially to bank as much money and save as much money as I could for my business before my last paycheck. So think about it this way. We made this decision in March. I was paid for April, May, which I was working. By June, I was off. I was still receiving a paycheck from my job during June, July, and August because in Texas, what the school system does is they take your 10 months of work and they spread it out over 12 months of pay. So that gave us a little more security and our risk tolerance didn't feel super high. So we decided to make that leap. We told people in May. So although we knew we were doing this in March, we didn't announce it. We didn't tell my boss. We didn't do any of that until May. And I left my job. I finished out the school year and I was done. I finished my 10 years of teaching. So here are some things that you're going to need to consider when you're thinking about making this leap. Here are four questions you need to ask yourself when you're ready to make that leap. Question number one, do you have a spouse or a partner with consistent income? Because for us, my husband had consistent income, so it made it a little bit less scary. The second question is, could you live off of one income for a period of time? Is that something that you could do where, and for us, we couldn't. I'm not going to lie to you. We couldn't. We could not live off of just my husband's income, which is why we had so much saved, which is why we made sure I was in a different position with my business before I left. So could you live off of one income for a period of time? And then the third question is, do you have money in savings just in case you can't pay yourself a full amount for a few months? And for us, we did. We had money in savings that if I needed to pay myself, if I only could pay myself $3,000 and I needed to pull $1,000 out, we could and still maintain our lifestyle. And the fourth question is, do you have a way to make money with your business? Because if you're not making money, then it is most likely just irresponsible for you to leave. So I had a plan. I had ways I was making money. I was already making money. So like I said, for us personally, I had about 3 months of money in savings, but I knew I was going to get paid for several more months. And that built-in money, that built-in paycheck I knew I had coming to us actually helped us take the leap to leave my job. And the bonus, the icing on top of all of this is actually we decided in March, okay, Allison's going to leave her teaching job. In May, we announced it. I told my principal, you know, I told my job. I let them know I'm leaving. And then also in May after that, my husband was offered an opportunity to work with one of his very best friends in the Houston area. We were living in the Dallas area. One of his very best friends called him and said, hey, I have a job opening. I want you to come. And it was so easy to say yes because we knew I could work from anywhere. And we knew that saying yes meant that I didn't have to try to find a teaching job somewhere. And so actually that summer after quitting teaching, we sold our home in the Dallas area. We found a home here in the Houston area, and I was so thankful because now we live close to family. And my parents are on a bad day in traffic, 30 minutes away, 35 minutes away. On an easy day, 20 minutes away. So it's nice to be able to have that support. It's nice that my children can have their grandparents close by. Matt's parents ended up moving within an hour's drive from us, or an hour 15 minutes drive. So it's wonderful. And I know that it made it easy for my husband to take that job because I could work from anywhere, essentially. This is a big decision. It is. It's a big decision to leave your steady income, your 9-to-5, to work for yourself. And this decision should not be made lightly. No matter what anyone tells you, it shouldn't be made lightly. However, it is possible. It is possible to leave your full-time job and work for yourself when you have a plan in place, you know your numbers financially, and you have yourself in a good position when it comes to your savings. And so that is something I think that people don't talk about, and I want you to consider. So just to recap, here's exactly the 4 steps for how I left teaching and how you can get started if you're thinking, I think I'd like to leave my 9-to-5 and work for myself. The step 1 is determine what you need to pay yourself. That looks like making a budget for your future life and see, do you need to replace your income, or can you only replace a portion of your income? Figure that out. Do the math. Step 2 is make sure you have a way to make money from your business. If you don't have a consistent way to make money from your business, you're going to be in an area of stress and limiting mindset, limiting money mindset when you move into your business. And that's stressful. Trust me, I've been there. It's not fun to be in that place. Step 3 is set up a quit my job savings account and start saving any of the profit that you get from your current side hustle, your current business that you're wanting to take full time. Put it in a savings account, because that savings account is going to act as your security blanket and basically help lower your risk tolerance when it does come time to take the leap, which leads me to step 4, make the leap. Make the leap to leave your job, which, remember, we have to ask ourselves 4 questions. Do you have a partner that has consistent income? Can you live off of one income for a period of time? Do you have money in savings just in case? Just in case, right? Do you have that quit my job savings account to pay yourself if you don't get paid for a few months? And do you have a way to make money from your business? So ultimately, I hope this helps you or gives you a little bit of a peek inside what I did to leave teaching full time, put 10 years into teaching, and now I get to work for myself at home and record this lovely podcast in my closet. At the end of every solo episode, I love to answer a question from someone on Instagram, and this one comes, and I love it. If you go back and listen to my travel hacking episode, you can hear a little bit more about this. But the question is, how do I evaluate a travel hack credit card using points versus a cashback one? So basically, when you sign up for different credit cards, and we're talking about using those rewards, and I dive very deep into this on episode number 25. So if you want to go back and listen to episode 25, I talk more about how we travel hack. But when it comes to balancing or evaluating a travel hack credit card that has travel perks, we're talking flight perks, hotel perks, rental car perks, basically any travel perks, versus cash back, where you actually, the credit card company will give you money back for earning points or spending. For me, it comes down to knowing your purpose behind what you want. So for instance, if you don't travel a lot and that's not something that interests you, or you have a very busy schedule with your job or your kids, like I think, oh my gosh, when my kids are older and they're in all these sports, we might not be able to take as many trips. If that is something, if travel is something that's, there's roadblocks, there's speed bumps for you to do that, and you don't do it often, then I would not personally get a travel hack credit card. Our family gets them because my husband has off the entire summer. So we have an entire summer open to us to travel. And since I can work from pretty much anywhere, as long as I have good internet, it opens up this possibility. We also have off for Thanksgiving, a week at Thanksgiving, a week at spring break, and 2 weeks at Christmas. So our lifestyle allows us to travel more, which is why we have travel credit cards. However, if my husband worked a really demanding job and he didn't have summers off and he only got 2 weeks of vacation a year and he didn't like to travel, you know, who knows, we might not be getting and investing in these travel credit cards and trying to rack up travel points. That might be a better option for us to get a cash back card because it would be more valuable in our life. So I want you to, instead of saying like, how do I balance it and make sure I'm getting the best deal? I think it's important to make sure that you're getting the best deal for your situation. So being able to evaluate that and make a decision. Okay, what is the reward I'm going for? Once you know that, then you can look at the different credit cards and seeing, okay, well, which credit cards have the best cash back rewards and which credit cards have the best travel rewards. So I would say almost decide what you're wanting first, and then you can compare, and it makes it so much easier. And like I said, I share in episode 25 all about credit card travel hacking. The two cards we've tried, the one that I would go over and get over and over and over again, and the one I recommend. So you can go back and listen to that now. I hope you've enjoyed this episode all about how I left teaching to work on my business full-time. And whether you're considering leaving your 9-to-5 or full-time job, or you're just interested to know what it took, I'm glad that you listened to this. I would absolutely love it if you would leave a rating or review on the Apple Podcast app. That just helps my podcast get out there. And then you can also follow it as well, or subscribe. It is totally free for you to do. And essentially what that does is it just delivers my podcast to your app every Thursday when it's released. I hope this episode helps you live your best life and reach your money goals. See you next week.